This afternoon, we're going to look at the road to Nineveh. It's our subject. Please give your attention now to the reading of God's holy and inspired word, Jonah chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Verse 3. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We are encouraged in the reading of God's word from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Our prayer this afternoon is that God would bless the reading, the hearing, and the application of His perfect and holy word. Amen. Well, in our beginning, our way through the book of Jonah, we have so far met our prophet. And we spent some time a few weeks ago on the word of God coming to His people and how that happens and the significance of that. When we come to verse 3 today, we find Jonah at a crossroad in life, a place where a decision has to be made. God had commanded, you heard very clearly in our reading, He had commanded Jonah to travel east to Nineveh. But Jonah finds the westward road to Tarshish to be more attractive. Now these two roads are rich with imagery and meaning, especially for the Christian. There are many applications here that we should give attention to, that we should meditate upon. The road to Nineveh is the road of obedience to God's commands. The road to Tarshish heads in the opposite direction from God's commands, representing disobedience to God. The road to Nineveh is the road which God had revealed. But the road to Tarshish is the road of Jonah's own making. Now, we know which road that Jonah will choose, and we know the rest of the story. He does go to Tarshish. And what I want to do today is to evaluate these two roads, because these two roads are very instructive to us. It seems that in looking at our passage here, it seems to our eyes, if we look at these two roads, because you know in your life there is a road to Nineveh, you know that there is a road to Tarshish. And as we examine these roads with our eyes, we tend to look at them how they seem to us rather than what they actually are. And this is where we'll spend our time today. Jonah saw the road to Nineveh and he evaluated it by its appearance. And from Jonah's perspective, what did the road to Nineveh look like? It was pretty scary. It didn't seem to fit with his expectations of where a prophet, perhaps of his stature, should go. On the other hand, the road in the other direction looked pretty attractive. Tarshish didn't have the same appearance as Nineveh. In fact, it looked to Jonah, and here's where we begin to see the relevance in the Christian walk. It looked as though the road to Tarshish had many advantages over the road to Nineveh. And what I want to show you today is that these two roads are in fact opposite from one another, not just in how they appear to us, but in what they represent. You see, the road to Nineveh appears pretty dark. But actually, the road of obedience to God's command is a road that is pretty clear. It's a road with a lot of clarity, as we'll see. But then the bright road to Tarshish seems to be the place to go. But it's actually the road that's pretty dark and scary, because it's the road that heads away from God. Now with Jonah, so it is with us. In fact, every day, all throughout the day, you and I are faced with decision after decision. Decisions that are weighed in the balance of God's law, God's word. We're faced with many roads, many decisions all throughout the day. And at every point in these decisions, there are two roads. God has in fact given us many commands in His word. Commands that influence everything that we do. Commands that will direct us and illumine us. Commands that protect us and show us the will of God. All of these commands, they create decisions for us to make and roads for us to evaluate. Whatever the decision is that we make is guided by the law of God. Nice thing about having the means of grace today, the Word of God and the commands of God, is that when God gives us a command, we don't have to wonder what the will of God is. We don't have to wonder where God wants us to go. But that's something that Christians struggle with. What is the will of God for my life? What am I supposed to do with my life? And all the while, they're trying to get God to tell them the future. When in fact, God has shown them the road. God has given His commands. There's a certain thing we're supposed to do. Are you obeying the commandments of God? And yet we find that oftentimes we are not obeying the commandments of God when we ask Him for His will. And the Word of God says to you and to me today, I've already revealed my will to you. It is in my law. It is in the commandments. Let's make no mistake today that the road that is before us is a road that represents obedience to God's revealed word. That road, in fact, is paved. It is smooth. It is without question. And though we will struggle at times over moral dilemmas or things that cause us to be torn in one direction or the other, we are seeking to obey the word of God. In fact, the road that we will promote today, the road that we want to be traveling on, is a road with many signs along the way. It's a road that is clear, and there is an invitation to invite us forward, and even warning signs to show us when we're getting off the road. And that's the benefit that we'll see of the means of grace. The means of grace make the road to be clear. We want to understand these roads before us, and we want to see how important it is for us to choose the right direction. So let's evaluate these two roads, the two roads that are before Jonah. Let's survey the road to Nineveh, and let's survey the road to Tarshish, and let's see what they really are. Because that seems to me, from a Christian perspective, that we're not very good at evaluating these roads. Let's look first at the road to Nineveh. This road represents the law, the road of obedience to the law of God. The road to Nineveh is obedience to God. Some of the characteristics of this road. We want to notice that our Lord Jesus gives us counsel about some of the roads that we meet with in Jonah, in Matthew chapter 7. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So our Lord Jesus used this kind of analogy to direct His people. It's wonderful that we have this dilemma in the book of Jonah, where our prophet comes to an intersection of two roads. The road to Nineveh. First of all, the road to Nineveh is a road filled with persecution. Now wait, we're trying to promote traveling on the road to Nineveh, and yet right out of the gate we see that it's a road that's filled with persecution. Let it be known that the road of obedience to God is a road filled with persecution. And we have to be truthful today. Let's not deny what is found upon the road of obedience. Anytime we choose to obey God, there will be opposition to us. It's a road where we meet the enemies of God. Those who hate God will hate us when we follow God. And just as they fight against God, they will fight against us. One of the enemies of God that we will meet on the road to Nineveh is Satan himself. He will work against us when we follow God, and he'll send his armies against us. Secondly, it's a road where we make enemies. Many will rise up against us on the road to Nineveh. When we serve the Lord, we will make many enemies. When we stand for the Word of God, we will offend people. We will be opposed. And we live in a time when Christians have the mentality that they must fit in, that they must take the culture and mold the church after the culture. Many times Christians think that it's their duty to go along with the flow of society, to lure others to Christ by making Christianity more attractive, more normal from the perspective of society. But my friends, most often when the world likes us, it's because we aren't on the road to Nineveh. If there's no opposition in your life, in your family, your worldview, it's time to stop and closely evaluate the road that you're traveling on. Because whenever we obey God, when we obey the commandments of Jesus Christ, there will be opposition. We don't look for opposition. We're nice people. Most of us are. The point is that we don't have opposition in our lives often because we're not obeying God. We will be opposed when we travel the road to Nineveh. Thirdly, it's a road where not only we meet the enemies, not only do we make enemies, but it's a road where we're sent to our enemies. We see that in our passage with Jonah. When we follow God, God will direct us oftentimes into the home turf of the enemy. Look at Jonah. The road to Nineveh in this particular case is actually a road that leads into the walled city of the most powerful evil nation in the entire world at that time. These were people that were known for their cruelty to their enemies. Notice that Jonah didn't take that road. Don't be surprised, Christian, if God asked you to move toward your enemy. And don't be surprised if obeying God brings you into the direct path of the enemy. In fact, when we promote the Word of God and obedience to His laws in our society, we'll quickly find new enemies every day, and we'll quickly find that we are among them. God sent us there. Are you opposed in your life today? Have you made any enemies? Are you among your enemies? Don't be surprised if God sends you there. We also find that it's a road where we leave behind our loved ones and our families. Sometimes the persecution that we're talking about comes from our family. This persecution comes from our loved ones. They have our best interests in mind, they believe. And they want to bring us back from the extremes of serving God, the cult that we follow, sometimes they think. They want to save us. They want to rescue us from these bad decisions we're making in following God. The road to Nineveh brings opposition that can separate us from the ones we love the most in this world. Interesting that the story of Jonah, we don't get a lot of the story about Jonah's family. We don't hear a lot of that. And it's kind of a silence there that is kind of deafening. For most of us, there's a backstory. There's some kind of opposition with the family and whatever God calls us to do. But this road, in fact, the road to Nineveh is a road that steps heavenward, that heads toward God. It goes in the opposite direction of the world. Secondly, not only is this a road filled with persecution, as you see in your outline there, persecution from enemies, but it's also a road filled with trouble. It's a road filled with trouble. And you're maybe thinking, well, you're doing a really bad job of advertising how wonderful the road to Nineveh is. Your first two points were that it's filled with persecution and trouble. Why would anybody want to be a Christian? The road to Nineveh is a road where we meet with the effects of sin. The world we live in is a dark world filled with broken people doing ungodly things. And the road to Nineveh puts us in direct contact with these people. And it brings us into a great amount of trouble. When we obey God, we meet the sinful. We confront the effects of sin in other people. Not that we don't meet those things on the road to Tarshish, as we'll see. But I believe when we're doing the right things, when we're obedient, that is when we stand out the most from the world and we bring the most trouble in our lives. That is when we are the most sensitive to sin around us when we are obeying God. But that's when we're most equipped to deal with it. It's a road where we meet with our limitations. On the road to Nineveh, we see that there are many things that we cannot do. When we rightly understand God, we know our place, we know our creatureliness. We know where we truly are, and by submitting to the plan of God, we are most trustful in Him. We're relying on the strength that only He can give. We're more sensitive to that on the road to Nineveh. We also meet with sickness and death. Again, not things exclusive to the road to Nineveh, but things that we must acknowledge that will be in our lives if we are in obedience to God. Here's the thing to take from that. Obedience to God does not remove trials or suffering from life. It's not a road of ease. It's not a road without trial. Thirdly, the third advertisement for how wonderful the road to Nineveh is, as I dig the hole, darkness is another thing we meet up with on the road to Nineveh. It's often a road where we are left without answers. We don't know why we're going to Nineveh. Often times, Jonah knows. God reveals very little to us at times. Often the road to Nineveh is a road where we are headed to an unknown place. It's a road with few details. It's a road that we know to be headed to a dangerous place. And we notice before, a few weeks back, if you recall, that God revealed almost no details to Jonah. He did tell him which road to take. And that's the case with you and I. We don't get the details of the future. We don't get to know what will happen to us on the road, but we do have the commandment to follow. What will be the outcome? I don't know. I have no idea what the outcome will be, but we are called to obey God. But many Christians will evaluate the road and not take the road to Nineveh because they're waiting to know the future. Something God has never promised us in this life. As Christians, it's amazing how often we cry out for the details of the journey when in fact God has already revealed the direction and the road. The distinction between the roads in our text is that one is obedience and the other is disobedience. What has God revealed to you today regarding His will? And you may say, out of frustration, well, very little. I have no idea what God's will is for me. Has He given you 10 commandments? Have you taken those roads? Are you obeying God in the basics and trusting Him to reveal the details later? Or are you waiting to obey God because you don't know the details? Fourthly, famine is also met with on the road to Nineveh. It's a road where we don't partake of the fruits of this world. It's a road where we often deny ourselves in order to serve God. For the Christian, there will be fewer jobs in this world that we can take. There will be fewer options for people for us to marry in this world. There will be fewer options for our entertainment. It's a road where our obedience can lead often to our poverty or being under persecution or judgment from those who want us to be in poverty. Well, there you have it. The sales job for the road to Nineveh. My friends, what we need to see today at the road is that the road to Nineveh might be a world of worldly trouble, but it's a wonderful road to travel. It's a beautiful road to travel. It's a beautiful road when viewed from the perspective of following and fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. It is the loveliest of journeys. And though we have to go through these difficulties that we mentioned, it truly is a road of peace with God. It is a road of comfort. It is a road of clarity, and it is a road of blessing. And so here's the other side of the equation for your encouragement. If I've drawn you down into depression so far, then find encouragement here from the Word of God. The road to Nineveh is a road of peace with God. It's a road of obedience and the good pleasure of God. It's a road that we want to be very familiar with. We want to study this road, knowing about the peace of God. It's a road that is constantly revealing Christ to us. It's a road where we gladly take the opposition that comes against us. It's a road where we expect and even prepare for opposition, where we know that no opposition from this world can compare to what it would be like to be opposed by God. Secondly, it's a road of comfort by God. It's a road where we have a close walk with the Holy Spirit. It's a road where we know how to handle the effects of sin, where we know the purpose of sickness and death, where we know that those things that we are confronted with are no longer a burden to us because we know how God uses them in this world. We know of the sovereignty of God. This is a comfort to the believer, knowing God's sovereignty and the peace that comes in the troubled time. It's a road where our limitations are embraced. What we said before is our limitations were revealed. But our limitations are embraced. We don't try to be more than we are. We're creatures. We rely on God. He governs and we obey. There is comfort in this for the Christian. So when we have a great command to obey, like we have in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2, we know what our duty is. It isn't to know everything about the road. It's to obey. Let God to be God. You're a creature. You're not supposed to know the details. Let's be thankful that God reveals the road to us. There's great comfort there. when we're on that road, we should have comfort at heart that we don't know what is about to come. Thirdly, it's a road of clarity from God. Now, we said earlier that it's a road of darkness in a certain sense because you don't know the future. But really, the road to Nineveh is a road where He guides us by His Word and Spirit. It's a road of wisdom. And here is something to take away if you don't remember anything else this afternoon. It's a road filled with the means of grace. Because the means of grace are our comfort when we go through those times of darkness or confusion, when we don't know what's ahead. On the road to Nineveh, there is a dependence upon the things of God, a continual use of the treasures that God has given to His people for their guidance and for their growth. On the road to Nineveh, the Sabbath day is lifted up and it is held with great respect. Because the wise Christian knows that in order to be guided by God, he uses the means of grace that God has given. The wise Christian also knows how important it is to obey God if the road is to be clear. Obedience makes the road more clear. It's a road that is bright, in fact, from the law of God shining upon the road at every turn. Now, you see what we said earlier. In a sense, it's a road of darkness if we focus on what we don't know. But if we focus on what we do know from the Word of God, the road's pretty bright. The road is clear. The road to Nineveh isn't an antinomian road with no laws. And we should see that turning to God's law makes the road more clear. It isn't a law that binds us as though we're obeying that law for salvation. That would be binding. But the law is instead to us because Christ has obeyed. It is not the means that we seek for our salvation. It is the means for our illumination because it is the Word of God. Now, we should see that turning to God's law makes the road more clear. It makes the road to Tarshish seem dark and full of danger, and the road to obedience bright and clear. Now, lastly, and then we'll turn to the road to Tarshish, and we'll see how dark it really is. Lastly, the road to Nineveh is a road of blessing. It's a road of abundance. Spiritual blessings abound on the road to Nineveh. God's Word is in abundance. His sacraments are fully in use. All of the means are bringing forth their fruit. We lie in the bosom of Christ, and He is our first love. That makes the road beautiful. And we can't say those things about the other road, the road to Tarshish. Let's turn to consider that road. The road to Tarshish is a road that appears to be a road of peace and comfort and clarity and blessing. Kind of looks that way to Jonah, because the other road looks pretty scary. So the road to Tarshish is the road to peace. That's what Jonah thinks. I wonder what you and I think at times when we are confronted with these choices and we see that obeying God is difficult. But the road of our own wisdom would be so much better at times, we feel. Is the road to Tarshish truly a road of peace? Well, it appears peaceful because we avoid confrontations that come whenever we make enemies. We seek compromise to make everyone happy, and we try to avoid being sent to our enemies. On the road to Tarshish, we're never opposed by our families. Instead, we do whatever we can to make everyone happy. We avoid confrontations at all costs. Christian, be warned that there is no peace on the road to Tarshish. In fact, on the road that goes the opposite way of God's commands, it is a road where you are at war with God. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And those who travel the road to Tarshish have purposely rejected the road to Nineveh. And for that choice, they have placed themselves against God. And so instead of being the enemy of the world, they become the enemy of God. Let's not fool ourselves and try to think that the road to Tarshish is a peaceful road. And we may avoid confrontations in this world, but in our blindness, we've invited the wrath of God upon ourselves if we do not belong to Him. And if we do belong to God, we invite upon ourselves His fatherly discipline. In either case, the road is not a road of peace. It's a road of turmoil and anger, a road of storm and tempest, a road where we meet the worst of all enemies. And who is our worst enemy in this life? If we don't have Christ, our worst enemy is God Himself. My friends, if you find yourself today on this road, it's not too late to repent. Turn to Christ. He never instructs us toward Tarshish, the place of disobedience. Turn to Christ. Run to Christ. Run back to that clear road that leads to God's good pleasure. The road where Christ is the road to Nineveh. Secondly, we see it's not really a road of peace. Comfort is the second deception of the road to Tarshish. The first deception was peace. The second is comfort. Well, on this road we find those things that bring us comfort at all costs. We seek out the things that are opposed to diligence and work, and we avoid those things that will remove our comforts. We don't think we meet with the effects of sin because we don't notice our sin. Our sin is always there, but we can't see it on the road to Tarshish because that's one of its deceptions. Christian, don't be deceived like Jonah. Don't be deceived and think the shining and glittering road that goes to Tarshish is a road of comfort. It's truly a road filled with trouble from God. If we're so bold as to take a road that is against the commandments of God, we invite all manner of trouble to ourselves. How can we say the road to Tarshish is an easy road of comfort if we're bringing ourselves under the judgment of God? The most troublesome road is the road that denies the justice of God. Now, as we stated, it's a road that still has its share of the sinfulness of man, but being opposed to the plan of God means that we are often blind to the effects of sin. We're avoiding trouble, pretending that the road is somehow smooth and without confrontation, without sickness. But how blind we are to think that this road would be our best choice. And yet how many Christians take this road because they think it'll be easier for them, or they think there's an advantage for the church. But the sorrow that comes from this road is very great indeed. Another thing to consider. Fathers, don't be foolish enough to think that you go down the road to Tarshish alone. When you make a foolish choice, when you disobey the commandments of God, you take others with you. What a burden we bear to make sure we're on the right road. Not only for our own sakes, but for the sake of those that we love. Fathers, run to the Nineveh road. seek Christ and follow Him and lead your family to Christ. Let's serve the Lord. And if we perish in this world, let it be because of our obedience, not because we chose a road that brought us and our families to stand against God. You represent others and know that your choice influences others. The third deception of the road to Tarshish is clarity. And we often define the surety of our way by the obstacles that we experience. And on this smooth road, everything seems fine and everything seems clear. On this road, those who speak of God will only see the love of God. There is no searching of the depths of Scripture or the attributes of God or of His justice. Only His mercy and love. Don't think that on the road to Tarshish you'll never hear about God, but you'll only hear a few things about God. A part of the gospel. Now the complicated things that happen on the road to Nineveh, they don't cloud our traveling on the smooth road to Tarshish. Christian, the truth is that the road to Tarshish is a road with no direction from God. It's a road that presumes upon God. It assumes His plan is simple and easy to manipulate. Well, God told me, we often hear on the road to Tarshish. It's a road paved with bad theology. And that bad theology isn't an innocent mistake. My friends, it's a bold lie that makes the road to Tarshish look like something that it isn't. The theology on the road to Tarshish is a theology that destroys and drags souls to hell. False views of God, in fact, abound on the road to Tarshish. Those who travel this road somehow believe that God won't deal harshly with sin. And what a lie that truly is. You'll hear on the road to Tarshish that God is blind to those who sin. What an ignorance of God that would miss the fact that God required the death of His own Son to deal with sin. And any view that ignores the destructive power of sin and the holiness of God is a damnable view of God. On the road to Tarshish, ignorance of God's law makes the road more attractive. The belief that the law of God is not an essential part of the Christian life can make the road to be more attractive. The road to Tarshish is the road with no direction from God. It is the antinomian road. It is the antinomian road. When it comes to clarity on the road to Tarshish, the road to Tarshish is a road that neglects the means of grace. When we're journeying the way that is opposed to God's commands, we're neglecting the Word of God. We are running from God. We are neglecting the means of grace. We're ignoring the primary direction that we are to have in this world. And any Christian who would do such a thing as to go on the road opposed to God is inviting great trouble into his life and the life of his family. The Christians who travel the road to Tarshish are running blindly down the road away from God. Lastly, it's a road with no wisdom, no seeking from the Word of God. When Jonah eventually finds himself running down this road because of the decision that he has made, he commits one sin after another, after another, after another. You know how the story goes. He finds himself on the brink of destruction, saved only by God's miraculous intervention and mercy. I do find it interesting, as we get further into the book, we are often saved in a similar way as Jonah. By miraculous interventions, like a great fish, to swallow us along the way. We would still dare not presume upon the mercy of God. Would we run down the road to Tarshish, expecting a great fish to deliver us? That's rebellion. We don't take that approach to life. Lastly, blessing is the final deception on the road to Tarshish. We've seen so far the deceptions have included peace and comfort and clarity. Blessing is another deception. The road to Tarshish can appear to bring us blessings. Now, in this particular account, there are a few blessings that come for Jonah, but there are times when traveling away from God can bring us prosperity. But the Christian must see today that this road is a road with no blessings from God. God will not bless those who are opposed to His Word. And those who go the opposite direction from His Word can't expect to find peace and comfort and clarity and protection and blessing from God. It's a road of God's judgment. It's a road of trouble raining down upon the foolish believer who takes the road opposed to God. Ask Jonah about how pleasant the road to Tarshish actually is. It would be nice to have a conversation with him about how miserable it is to be running from God. To hear Jonah tell us about how miserable that it is to be dragged back to the right road out of the filthy, stinking belly of a fish. Children, hear from the Word of God how miserable the road to Tarshish truly is. And I want you to know this day that Satan loves the road to Tarshish. In fact, around its entrance and all along the way, he places all of his choicest temptations. He makes the road that is dark and filthy seem to be bright and attractive. He makes the road lined with destruction and horror to be the road of wisdom. And it seems like the right thing to do. Satan places all along the road to Tarshish his most golden baits. And all he has to do is wait for the Christian, who has very little understanding of the Word of God, to come along and step so easily into a path that he is commanded not to take. Satan, with his lies, will tell you about the persecutions on the road to Nineveh. He'll tell you about the trouble that is on the road to Nineveh and how it's so dark there's no light upon the road because God won't tell you the future. But what Satan will not tell you is that by being on the road to Nineveh, we are on the road that is right with God. What Satan will not tell you is that it doesn't matter what happens to us on the right road, we are friends with Christ. And what Satan will not tell you is that it doesn't matter what trouble that we meet with when we're on the right road. It is the road. Truly, the road to Nineveh is the road of blessing. Now, as we close, I want to remind you and to encourage you that many times a day we see two roads before us. Many, many times throughout the day. The decision of Jonah is also our decision. The more we learn of God, the more we learn of His Word, the more clearly we see the difference between these two roads. We know the Word of God. The roads aren't hidden. The roads aren't close together. The roads aren't a mystery. The more we know of the Word of God, we can understand and define the roads and make good decisions in life. When we know God's Word, when we hear His voice, the roads are emblazoned before us at all times. through the means of grace. The means of grace are the light to distinguish between the two roads. The greater our love for God, the more we long for the road that is the road of obedience. And it doesn't matter if on that road there is opposition. It doesn't matter if on that road there is trouble. Even though we don't know where the road ends or where the road is heading, we should long for the road to Nineveh. It doesn't matter if it's the road of famine or sickness or pain. May the Lord in heaven set our feet upon that road that brings us closer to Christ. Well, maybe that's where you find yourself today. Overwhelmed with the world and with sorrows and confusion or pain. My friends, today, if you are without Christ, if He is not your God, you have no way of even seeing the difference between the roads that you travel. In fact, you travel blindly through this world, and you travel blindly into eternity. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to Him. Love Him and serve Him. Know today that Christ is the only way of salvation. He died, He was resurrected for the sins of His people, and only in Him can we be saved. And so if you don't know Christ, if you've paid attention today to the difference between the two roads in our text, choose the road to Nineveh. Now, Christians, today we know that we will often stray from the road to Nineveh because of our sinful nature. We find comfort today. Our salvation is not based upon how well we travel the road. Our salvation is not based upon how often we stay on the right road. Our salvation is based on how well Christ traveled the road. Because Christ perfectly obeyed the commandments of God throughout His entire life. He always obeyed perfectly at every turn. That is our hope and salvation today. Not how well you and I can stay between the lines. Our hope is Christ. Because He perfectly traveled the road to Nineveh. Christ perfectly obeyed. That is our hope. Now the wise Christian knows the truth. He knows that the road to Tarshish is the road filled with the worst kind of opposition. That is the most terrible of opposition in the world. Being opposed by God. It is the road to Tarshish that is the road of trouble. Because it puts us against God. It is the road to Tarshish that is the road of darkness, because it turns us against the Word of God, against the means of grace. The road to Tarshish is the road of famine and darkness. And we who are the children of God should want nothing to do with any road that heads to Tarshish. We desire to follow and obey God. Hear now this instruction today from the Word of God. Let's stand and pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that You would make us wise to see the roads that are before us today. We pray that You would make the road that leads away from You to become a thing of ugliness to us. And how weak we are in this world, Father, we ask that You would help us to be wise and help us to know more clearly the proper path to take. Direct us to and shine Your word upon Christ Jesus, our Savior. In His name we pray. Amen.